Hello, I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, January the 1st, 2007. Thanks for starting your new year with us, and I invite you to join in as we follow up on the execution of former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein. We set up this hour with our guest on Friday when it wasn't exactly clear what Hussein's fate would be or when it would be. Officials, though, were saying that the execution could come within days, even hours. Our guest is with the group Human Rights Watch, which had called on the Iraqi government to review the verdict in Saddam Hussein's trial for crimes against humanity and to not implement the death sentence. That call, as we know, was not heeded. Saddam Hussein was executed by hanging on Saturday morning in Iraq. Human Rights Watch says the execution followed a deeply flawed trial and marks a step away from respect for human rights and the rule of law in Iraq. We will welcome your reaction and your questions for our guest, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, toll-free from anywhere. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Pam Singh, counsel in the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Yes, thanks very much for joining us on this New Year's morning. Your reaction to the execution a lot quicker than we thought it was going to be of Saddam Hussein.
Certainly. Well, first of all, I just want to make clear that we've spent over 15 years, Human Rights Watch has spent over 15 years documenting human rights violations committed by Saddam Hussein and other senior officials in his regime, and we've campaigned during that time tirelessly to bring the perpetrators of, you know, the many crimes in Iraq to justice during his reign. But at the end of the day, the trial against Saddam Hussein was profoundly unfair. You know, there are a number of instances, you know, lack of independence of the judiciary, a lot of instances of trial by ambush by the prosecution with respect to the defense. So, I mean, there's no question that his trial did not meet international standards and was unfair. But in addition to that, I mean, the imposition of the death penalty, I mean, as I said, there's no question that Saddam Hussein is responsible for widespread and serious human rights violations, but we're opposed to the death penalty in all circumstances, regardless of the individual or the underlying crimes involved.
Yeah,
it's a cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, we did see some pretty gruesome video on Saturday morning, Saddam Hussein walking to the gallows with his executioners. They had hoods on, but he did not. We're told that he refused the hood. We see the noose being put around his neck. We didn't see the actual execution on broadcast television anyway, though I understand videos have surfaced on the internet.
We
did see a picture of Hussein in a body bag with a broken neck. And then we, maybe even more disturbing than all that, though that was very disturbing, the video with audio that surfaced showing the executioners, or you hear the executioners taunting Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is, it's quite troubling. And I think just underscores that the death penalty is indeed a cruel and inhuman punishment and should not have been implemented in this case.
Yeah. Why do you think this was carried out so quickly?
You know, I can't speculate on why, you know, the thinking of the Iraqi government in terms of ushering the whole process through. I mean, under Iraqi law, there's a 30-day period in which to implement a death sentence. And, you know, so they had basically, I think, until January 26th to do so. Why they decided to do it sooner rather than later, I mean, I can't say. But it doesn't reflect well on the Iraqi government's respect for human rights. That's
yeah. Well, some are speculating that it was necessary to do this quickly so Saddam Hussein's supporters in Iraq don't believe that he will somehow come back to rule the country.
I mean, that's possible, but, I mean, at the same time, having an additional trial, I mean, at the time of his death, he was also on trial for crimes committed in the Anfal, up as part of the Anfal campaign, which involved allegations of genocide. I mean, it was clear that he wasn't going anywhere anytime soon. So, I'm not sure if that fully explains the haste, but in any event, I can only speculate as to why.
Right.
Why they did it.
Yeah, and while you touched on it, some argue that as grotesque as the video that we saw on Saturday morning was, what Saddam Hussein did to the people of his country was even more grotesque.
Well, I mean, again, there's no question that he is responsible. He and other people in his government were responsible for massive human rights violations. I mean, I mentioned the Anfal campaign before, but basically, you know, that involved the extermination of between 50 and 100,000 Kurds. They were targeted simply because they were Kurds, and poison gas was used against them. I mean, there's no question that, you know, there were some monstrous acts committed by Saddam Hussein. But at the end of the day, you know, in order to move forward, he would have had to have, you know, and for the Iraqi people to move forward, I think a fair trial would have been essential. A fair trial would have helped people understand the truth behind the crimes that were committed, you know, exactly how the crimes were committed and by whom, and not just by Saddam Hussein, but other actors that may have been involved. It would have helped, you know, the people of Iraq recognize the experiences of the victims of different religions and ethnic groups. And this, without a question, would have set a more stable foundation for democratic accountability in Iraq.
Our guest is Pam Singh, counsel in the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch, talking with us about the execution over the weekend of former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein. We welcome your questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on about 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday morning, January the 1st, 2007. We are talking with Pam Singh, who is with the group Human Rights Watch this hour, talking about the execution on Saturday of Saddam Hussein. And John in Madison is our first caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. A lot of us out here think that the reason that he was handed over to the Iraqis for this charge of orchestrating a reprisal for an assassination attempt was that, one, the crime didn't directly involve the United States, and two, it stopped cold the investigation of the Anfal genocide. And at that time, and the reason being that we're involved in a war there, and our hands aren't clean in the whole matter since we were his ally in the Iran-Iraq war. We provided satellite surveillance funding and also materials for development of chemical and biological weapons during that war. And so by executing him for this relatively lesser crime, our complicity in his greater crime, and certainly the after the first Iraq war, we were involved in the setting up the Sunnis and Shiites for his reprisals, and we withdrew our support of both factions and allowed that slaughter to go on. In other words, the no-fly zone didn't extend to helicopters. Schwarzkopf said he was faked out, but we all know he wasn't. I have two things I'm interested in here. One, what is the precedent when you have somebody with multiple charged with multiple crimes, and in one crime he's found guilty, and then all of a sudden stopping the progress on the other crimes and having the person dispensed with for that particular crime? And my second question is, didn't the Iranians, I mean, his defense in Anfal, and I don't believe it, was that this was done by the Iranians because there was a war going on. And my one thing I've always been interested in is I have heard that the Iranians did use poison gas in that war. I wonder what your knowledge on the situation was.
Okay. Well, with respect to his execution and the impact on the Anfal trial, what you mentioned before, just to recap, the Anfal incident involved the extermination of 50 to 100,000 Kurds who were targeted and killed in northern Iraq using poison gas. And our, you know, the allegation being that they were those Kurds were targeted because of their ethnicity. I mean, the fact that he has been executed while standing trial for those crimes is, I mean, of course, that will jeopardize the conduct of the trial in that case. But, I mean, although he's been executed, I believe the trial is still intended to go on. There's still six other defendants who still have yet to be tried in that case and who are in the process of being tried. So in terms of, you know, the evidence that would, you know, of course there will be information that will go with Saddam Hussein to his grave, but it is still possible that there will be, you know, evidence presented with respect to those six remaining defendants that will show the command structure and, you know, possibly shed some light on his role in the Anfal campaign. In terms of Saddam Hussein's defense in Anfal, that, you know, it was basically the Iranians that also used poison gas. I mean, I can't comment on, you know, the scope of his defense or the truth of those allegations. But, you know, at the end of the day, the people in northern Iraq, you know, were targeted precisely because they were Kurds. And they were targeted in that way because the victims included not just people involved in, you know, the counterinsurgency or the alleged counterinsurgency operation, but included women, children, and the elderly, people who had nothing to do with or had no involvement with the Iranian government or Iran at all. So,
yeah, is there any precedent for someone, I don't know, being executed for being found guilty of one crime when he still faces many other allegations?
Internationally, I'm not sure. I'm sure it's happened domestically beforehand. I mean, also as a matter of prosecutorial strategy, one of the reasons why they could have decided to go forward with the Dujail case is because it's a much more limited crime base and an easier trial to prepare for and to put forward quickly. And I'm not sure if that's the reason why, in fact, that happened. But I mean, from a prosecutorial strategy point of view, it would make sense.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too, is that was considered an easier human rights crime to prosecute. Mm-hmm. But that trial really was, it went on for how long? I mean, it went on for a lot longer than they expected and all. I mean,
certainly a lot longer than the average trial in Iraq for serious crime.
Yeah. Thank you very much, John, for the call and the questions. Ed in Menominee Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Could you tell me how heinous would have to be the crime before Human Rights Watch would endorse the death penalty for someone?
Well, we don't endorse the death penalty in any situation, regardless of, you know, the perpetrator involved or the underlying human rights violations. It's inherently a cruel and unusual punishment, and more governments are moving away from implementing the death penalty.
So you end up celebrating the criminal. They become a cult hero, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Your policy then ends up celebrating the crimes that these people have done, so they end up becoming a cult hero.
Well, there's no question, and we have no question, that Saddam Hussein was guilty of numerous human rights violations. And in fact, with respect to the Anfal campaign, in 1992, we sent a team of researchers to northern Iraq, and, you know, we interviewed over 300 Anfal survivors and conducted soil analysis where the chemical weapons were used, and, you know, attempted to persuade several human rights-minded governments to bring a case against the government of Iraq under the Genocide Convention. I mean, but what is fundamental in terms of justice being done is having a fair trial. That's where we believe efforts should be directed in terms of bringing justice to the victims and, you know, ensuring that perpetrators of massive human rights violations are punished.
So that form of so-called justice would mean, according to your definition, there are no sets of moral absolutes.
Well, I mean, the only absolute, I guess, we would put forward is that the death penalty is cruel and inhuman in all cases and should never be implemented.
Yeah. You would have advocated a life imprisonment for Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm. After a fair trial, yeah.
Yeah. So, Ed, anything else?
To me, that's kind of frightening. It shows one of the benchmarks of liberalism, and that is that there are no moral absolutes, and second, there's no judgment.
Well, why was Saddam Hussein's trial so unfair, Pam Singh?
We had a number of concerns about the way that it was conducted. One of the important benchmarks of a fair trial is, you know, the independence of the judiciary from the executive. You know, we want to make sure that judges are free from influence of, you know, other people in power that could somehow influence their judgment. In that regard, you know, in January of 2006, the first presiding judge, he resigned in protest over public criticisms that were made by both the then Minister of Justice and the then Prime Minister you know, they were criticizing him heavily, that he was too lenient with respect to Saddam Hussein and the other defendants. The second presiding judge also demonstrated his complete lack of impartiality when he abruptly ended the defense case in June of 2006 with no prior notice, saying to the defense attorneys that your witnesses have not convinced me and no additional witnesses will convince me of your client's innocence. You know, and there are a number of statements by senior government officials throughout the trial about the fact that Saddam Hussein was guilty and deserved to be put to death, including the prime minister saying that his execution for the crimes he committed will come soon, just after the court ruling. I mean, that, I think, clearly indicates that the government, I mean, in addition to the judiciary, but the government, the pressure put on the judiciary by the government, you know, they actively encourage the prejudgment of the outcome of the case. There are also instances of, you know, as I mentioned before, trial by ambush, and that basically means that the prosecutor introduces evidence, damning evidence for the defendant, but that information wasn't given to the defense prior to the day in court. And that document was used and relied upon by the prosecution in court. So they didn't have an opportunity to challenge the evidence or review the evidence in advance and put forward an effective defense.
Yeah. Now, Human Rights Watch isn't alone in your concerns over the execution of Saddam Hussein. Ed was saying no moral absolutes, but the Vatican condemned his execution as well. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's right. And, I mean, the entire European Union has abolished the death penalty, and in fact, that is one of the reasons why they haven't been involved in the trial, because they are, and, you know, in terms of providing support and expertise, it's because they are absolutely opposed to the death penalty.
Now, David in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much, ladies, for taking my call. I'm very saddened when I have to think about 3,000 Americans killed, 30,000 wounded, not including the hundreds of thousands of Iraqis that have been killed and injured during this war, and hundreds of billions of dollars. Now, we can put prices on all these, but the amount of integrity that the United States has lost is priceless. I think that's from MasterCard or something. But anyways, my real question is, why wasn't this trial moved to somewhere like The Hague or somewhere else where, you know, Saddam Hussein, granted, was an evil man, did wrong things. But I think what we as Americans that have allowed George Bush to do is probably something as evil and as wrong as Saddam Hussein. And why is George Bush above the law?
We're not going to necessarily get into George Bush, but we will get into any idea why this trial wasn't moved, Pam Singh?
I mean, that's a good question, and that's something that we certainly would have favored, just because, I mean, you know, the legal system in Iraq has deteriorated over three decades of authoritarian rule, and, I mean, it's clear at the, you know, when the Iraqi High Tribunal was established that Iraq completely lacked the professional and technical expertise to prosecute complicated, you know, war crimes, crimes against humanity, genocide cases by itself.
Yeah. I'm going to hold you there because we actually do have a news break coming up. We'll get the latest news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking with and taking your calls for Pam Singh, counsel in the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch, talking with us about the execution of Saddam Hussein. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's just about 7:36 on this Monday, January the 1st, 2007. We're talking with a guest from the group Human Rights Watch, which says the execution of former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein over the weekend followed a deeply flawed trial for crimes against humanity, and this marks a significant step away from respect for human rights and the rule of law in Iraq. While Human Rights Watch acknowledges that Saddam Hussein was responsible for massive human rights violations, the group says that doesn't justify giving him the death penalty, and that history will judge these actions harshly. We welcome your questions for our guest, your reaction to the execution of Saddam Hussein, also the news that Saddam was taunted by his executioners in his final moments, whether or not you agree with our guest that the punishment was cruel and unusual,
was too hasty and unjust. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. And now we have an open line for you. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Some reaction over the weekend, demonstrators in Boston and in New York's Times Square turned out to protest Saddam Hussein's execution. The groups were either opposed to the death penalty or U.S. policy in Iraq. The rallies were headed by a group affiliated with former Attorney General Ramsey Clark, who was one of Saddam's defense lawyers. Protests were carried out also in Detroit. The group says that the execution is a clear sign President Bush is trying to escalate the war in Iraq. A minister at the Times Square rally says Saddam Hussein should have been jailed instead of executed. Protesters in Boston called the execution U.S.-sponsored murder and also demanded an immediate pullout of American troops from Iraq. And a member of the International Action Center called the execution illegal lynching, saying it was a serious violation of international law. So that's some reaction to the execution. What's yours? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Pam Singh. She is counsel in the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch. And Pam Singh, I wonder if you want to comment on this this group that said that this was a legal lynching and a serious violation of international law.
Well, I mean, as we were discussing earlier, I mean, I think that, I mean, in terms of whether or not Saddam Hussein was effectively brought to justice, we would say no. For justice to have been done in this case, the trial should have been conducted fairly, and we have a number of concerns which indicate, strongly indicate, that in fact the trial did not meet international fair trial standards and was profoundly unfair. In terms of, you know, the death penalty, as you know, I mentioned before, we don't support the death penalty. We're opposed to it in all circumstances, regardless of the individual or the underlying human rights violations involved. And I think that, I mean, it's important to just underscore that, you know, the imposition of the death penalty represents a significant step away for respect for human rights by the Iraqi government. And I think the truest test of a commitment to human rights is the way a government treats its worst offenders. And, you know, the Iraqi government's execution of Saddam Hussein after a profoundly unfair trial and a cursory appeals process reflects poorly on its commitment to human rights.
There was an article in The Guardian today that producer Karen Prager passed along, the headline that there is dismay among Kurds that their genocide case is unanswered. The article says that the Kurds are frankly happy that Saddam Hussein is gone, but are disappointed that Saddam would not have to answer for what he did to them. Do you want to react to that?
Well, I mean, I think that the reasons expressed with respect to the Anfal trial hold true for the Dujail trial as well. The fact that he didn't receive a fair trial in the Dujail trial, and the fact that he won't stand trial any longer in the Anfal case, you know, it really undermines, you know, one of the purposes of these kinds of trials, which is to explain exactly what happened and why, you know, who was involved, how the crimes were committed, who committed them, how it was, you know, how it was implemented. You know, that opportunity is lost, and it's also a lost opportunity for the victims, you know, to see justice being done and to see an accurate historical account of how the crimes against them were implemented.
Yeah. A group's president or director is quoted here as saying in one of the stories that that history will, you know, will judge what happened to Saddam Hussein harshly. That the you want to talk more about that?
Certainly. I mean, it's the same the same argument that, you know, we have generally, which is, you know, as I said just, you know, a minute ago, that these trials serve a historical purpose in terms of, you know, documenting the experiences of victims and documenting precisely how crimes were committed. And at the end of the day, you know, a fair trial, it would have set a stable foundation, or one of the factors that would have set a stable foundation for democratic accountability and the rule of law generally in Iraq, which is so it's at such a crucial time right now in terms of instilling the rule of law. And again, you know, the way you treat your worst offenders, that's a reflection on how you respect human rights. Saddam Hussein didn't get a fair trial. He was executed executed quickly. I think that won't reflect well in history, you know, 15 years down the road, 20 years down the road.
We'll take some more calls. Earl in Burlington is with us. Hi, Earl.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
First one is, what happened to be judged by your peers? And the second one is, what do you do with a rabid dog?
Well, what's your point, Earl?
Well, my point is they wanted to move the trial somewhere else. He got judged by his peers, all right, and he was a rabid dog. So what do? You put the rabid dog down. I mean, that is just simple sense.
Pam Singh.
Well, with respect to moving the trial somewhere else, I mean, and this actually goes to a question that was raised earlier. People were concerned that holding the trial in Iraq wouldn't get a fair trial, which I think ultimately proved to be the case. And also because of security concerns, I think we would have advocated actually him being tried elsewhere. And that wouldn't preclude him being tried by his peers. It just would have meant that he wouldn't have been tried in Iraq, particularly in light of the precarious security situation. A lot of concerns that we had about the conduct of the trial, I think, would have been addressed more adequately. In terms of, you know, the death penalty, as I said before, we believe it's just not acceptable under any circumstance. And, you know, to deal with someone that has committed massive human rights violations, I think imprisonment is a much more appropriate and humane punishment. And, again, the death penalty never justified, regardless of the person involved or the crimes alleged.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say, Pam Singh, about the reaction in Iraq itself, that I guess there was a relative calm and there wasn't any spike in violence as feared by some?
You know, I mean, I'm not an expert with respect to, you know, security considerations on the ground in Iraq. I think it's, in any event, too early to say what the long-term implications will be, both the short and long-term implications will be of his execution.
Our guest is Pam Singh, counsel in the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch, who says that the execution over the weekend of former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein was cruel and unusual, was unjust in that it followed an unfair trial. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for her. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Human Rights Watch saying that the execution of Saddam Hussein follows a deeply flawed trial for crimes against humanity, and this marks an significant step away from respect for human rights and the rule of law in Iraq. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this New Year's Day, Monday, January 1st, 2007. We're talking about a serious, sad subject, the execution of Saddam Hussein over the weekend. Pam Singh is our guest, counsel in the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch. And Roy in Bayside is our next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I praise your guest, even though I support the death penalty in fair trials. Ma'am, do you think that we Americans are now in greater danger from foreigners because our national leaders have stereotyped us as primitive people who favor hasty executions and by a very primitive, ugly, old-fashioned method?
With respect to what the implications will be for, the U.S. generally, and with respect to Saddam Hussein's execution, I can't comment on what those precisely will be, or you know what what that will mean, you know, in terms of safety of the average American. But yes, I mean, I agree with you that, I mean, he didn't receive a fair trial. And I mean, while even if he had received a fair trial, we'd still be opposed to the death penalty because it's cruel and inhuman. At the end of the day, it would have established a better historical record with respect to the crimes committed and would have had greater legitimacy. And I think there would be less question about whether or not, you know, the trial itself was, you know, just a show trial or whatnot.
Yeah. What was with the hanging? I mean, there was talk about he wanted a different form of execution, I think. And you want to comment on the method of execution?
I mean, from what I understand, he had wanted to be killed by firing squad. I guess that's provided under Iraqi law. And I think that he'd requested that at some point during the trial. I mean, in terms of the method of hanging, I think it doesn't matter if he'd been, you know, hanged or shot by a firing squad or, you know,
right,
given an electric chair. It's always, we're completely opposed to it, regardless of the manner of execution.
Yeah. That particular form, even though the U.S. still allows the death penalty in some states, that it's all lethal injection here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I believe so.
Here's some more reaction. Jesse Jackson is in the news saying that, talking about the execution of Saddam Hussein. Jackson was preaching at a New York City church yesterday. He told the crowd that rather than make America safer, Saddam's death has left the country less secure. Jesse Jackson calls Saddam Hussein a trophy of a war that had nothing to do with 9/11, saying it was Osama bin Laden and the Taliban that attacked the U.S., not Iraq. Jackson also says America's moral authority is eroding as violence expands in Iraq, and he believes that the execution of Saddam Hussein will intensify the trouble there. I'm wondering, Pam Singh, if you have any thoughts on why this would reflect so poorly on the U.S. in that the U.S. is saying this is the Iraqi government's decision.
Well, I mean, the Iraqi High Tribunal was established with U.S. support. I mean, ultimately, it was a tribunal staffed by Iraqi judges, prosecutors, defense counsel, but, you know, they did receive substantial support from the U.S. In terms of expertise and assistance in, you know, putting forward the case, putting forward the defense, and whatnot. So, I mean, to the extent that the U.S. was involved in, you know, assisting the trial, that may be a factor. I mean, not to say that they didn't require assistance. I think it's clear that, you know, the judge and prosecutors and whatnot lacked the professional expertise to put forward a trial of this complexity. But I think that, you know, had there been more international involvement from other countries, including the U.S., but not exclusively the U.S., I think the trial itself would have had more legitimacy. A lot of administrative concerns that really undermined the trial would have been effectively addressed, and there wouldn't be questions about, the number of questions about whether or not the trial was fair, I think, would be greatly diminished.
Next, we'll go to Donna in Woodstock, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. My question is, there were pictures in the 80s of Donald Rumsfeld shaking hands with Saddam Hussein, and when the United States gave Saddam Hussein weapons to fight Iran, and I was wondering if he wasn't put to death so that he wouldn't talk about this. And the fact that there was also the Israeli question, that he was put to death because he paid Palestinians to build themselves up in Israel, and there's just a whole mess in the oil question and everything. I wondered if the guest would comment about that.
Certainly. I mean, with respect to, you know, allegations of U.S. involvement in, you know, crimes committed by Saddam Hussein, I mean, I can't comment on that because I don't know. I mean, I'm not in a position to say whether or not, you know, to what extent they were involved. I mean, in terms of, you know, the effect of his execution on learning information about, you know, how the crimes are committed, who is involved in committing them, yes, I mean, that's certainly an issue. And, you know, he was, at the time of his death, he was on trial for crimes committed in the Anfal campaign, which involved the use of poisonous gas against Iraqi Kurds and resulted in the killing of, you know, up to 100,000 Kurds in northern Iraq in 1988. And so, you know, whatever information he had about those crimes, including who helped him commit them, that will go with him to his grave. But that trial is still going to go on. There's still six other defendants in that case, and, you know, evidence put forward in that case could still shed light on, you know, the overall structure about, you know, how the crimes were committed, who committed them, how the orders were given. So it's not, I mean, it seriously jeopardizes the trial and jeopardizes, you know, the revealing of that information, but there is still, it is still possible that, you know, that information will come out and the trial will go on.
Thank you, Donna. Holly is with us now. Holly in Cedar. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering, isn't there a statute of limitations when something's brought to trial that after so many years that they can't do anything about it?
Yes. I mean, there is a statute of limitations, but it doesn't apply with respect to war crimes, crimes against humanity, or genocide.
Okay.
So it wouldn't apply in the Saddam Hussein case.
Yeah.
With respect to any of the crimes alleged against him.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Holly. President Bush said on Saturday, "Today Saddam Hussein was executed after receiving a fair trial, the kind of justice he denied the victims of his brutal regime." He goes on, but react to that, Pam Singh.
Well, we don't think he received a fair trial. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of indications to show that, in fact, the trial against him, it did not meet international fair trial standards. And, you know, for example, there was a complete lack of independence by the tribunal, the first presiding judge resigning because of political pressure and criticism that he was too lenient against the defendant, the second presiding judge abruptly halting the end of the defense case, basically saying to defense lawyers that, you know, your witnesses, they haven't convinced me and no other witnesses will, so of your client's innocence, so we're just going to stop the case now. You know, so it's clear that the tribunal itself was under intense political pressure, which does not create an atmosphere conducive to the conduct of a fair trial. And then there were a number of procedural irregularities, you know, the prosecutor providing information to the defense only, you know, in the courtroom, crucial evidence that was incriminating for the defendant, and he didn't have an opportunity to review it beforehand or challenge it effectively.
We'll go next to Jerry in De Pere. Hi, Jerry, you're on the air.
Yeah, and Happy New Year. I believe that capital punishment, death by injection, death by hanging, this type of revenge-based punishment has been proven not to work. It doesn't move society forward. Not that Saddam Hussein is worthy of or even capable of rehabilitation, but I just think that it shows regressive thinking. And I also, you know, take issue with the person that called just before the bottom of the hour who thought that keeping somebody in prison for life made a cult hero out of him. I believe the total opposite is the truth. When you actually put someone to death, that makes them a martyr. That may make them a cult hero. I think that type of conservative, neoconservative, regressive thinking just does not move society forward.
All right, a reaction to that, Pam Singh.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, we're in agreement that, you know, the death penalty is, it's never an appropriate punishment under any circumstance. And, you know, yes, there is a danger when you execute someone, particularly after an unfair trial, when there are questions about how they arrived to the point of being executed. There is the danger that that, in fact, turns the person into a martyr.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jerry. We did have a caller who didn't want to go on the air who said he was a soldier, a U.S. Soldier in Iraq, wants to ask about the rule of law initiative, and I'm afraid I don't understand exactly what he means by that. Do you?
No, I think I'd need some more details.
Well, I guess, how would you feel about the Nuremberg trials when the parallel is, he wanted to know exactly why didn't Saddam have a fair trial, but I think you've addressed that more than enough. You want to talk about how Saddam Hussein's situation is anything different than the Nuremberg trials?
Well, I mean, the Nuremberg trials represent a different period in history just in terms of the development of international law and fair trial standards. And whatnot. I mean, that being said, I don't think that there were questions about, I mean, I know that in the Nuremberg, with respect to the Nuremberg trials, they did impose the death penalty, which, of course, we would still be opposed to. But in terms of Saddam Hussein's case, I mean, look, there are clear standards in international law about what constitutes a fair trial, on more than one, with respect to more than one of those standards. They were not met, and in fact, profoundly violated. So, I mean, at the end of the day, Saddam Hussein did not get a fair trial.
We'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thanks a lot for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Happy New Year. Pam Singh, counsel in the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch, talking with us about the execution over the weekend of Saddam Hussein. Human Rights Watch says he should not have been executed, against the death penalty in general, Human Rights Watch, but says he did not receive a fair trial and the execution was carried out too quickly. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. Or you can listen to our talk shows archived online on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.